thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts. We're in the studio with Dee and Miss Tara and myself, Sandy. And last time we were in Philippians 4, and we were just kind of starting on verse 9. And I'm going to read, maybe it was 8.
Yes,
fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable.
Keep going through.
Okay, I will keep going.
Finish up.
Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned from me and heard from me, saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you.
I love that. So
I do
beautiful.
Too.
God is so good. You know, we had discussed last time that we need to make sure that we're living up to what we've attained. And really, he's summing up the letter. And so as a way of reminder, remember that Acts 16 is the story of where he met the people of Philippi, and 10 years has lapsed since that time, and now he's summing up his letter, not knowing if this may be the last time he communicates with them. And here he is chained to Roman soldiers and being rotated out on a regular basis, and he is desiring for them to get their minds on the things that they need to think of. And so last time we talked about what true and noble is, what just and right is, and what pure is. But today we're going to begin with lovely. The commentators say that this particular word is only found here in the New Testament. And it is something that actually deserves love. And it's attractive and it's lovely. And so if, Dee, would you mind looking up 1 Corinthians 13? Yep. They recommend that if we want to understand what this lovely is, it is actually as if we're reading the culmination of the love chapter. Mm. And so I just thought it would be appropriate. Let's read the section. She's looking at me like, which part? the part that talks about love within the...
First, are we in 1 Corinthians 13?
So 4 through 8-ish?
Yeah.
Okay. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. And yeah, probably could have ended it. Love never ends, but.
It's so beautiful.
You know, I think like pleasing to God.
Right.
Those are everything that's pleasing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it is also, as the commentator said, attractive to us. Mm-hmm. When we are in the presence of somebody that is actually giving real love, mm-hmm. the love that isn't about it's based on conditions of what you do for me, but based on the fact I just love you because you are you.
Right.
This is what he's saying. Think on that which is lovely. And honestly, I find it, this is me confessing my sin, it is so easy, it seems like, when I'm out there and making the choice with those that I may not have to interact with in the day-to-day because I don't have to deal with their unloveliness.
Yeah.
And when we're not confronted with unloveliness, it's easy to love. But when we're with the people that we are with the most, we're more apt to see that which is unlovely and then resemble and think on the things that aren't necessarily so lovely. I don't know. Am I the only one in the room that has that?
Oh, no, definitely.
It is so true.
it's just like, what?
it surprises me over and over, in a, I don't know, not in a good way. I don't mean that. How easy it is for me to judge or snap mm-hmm. at my Greg more than anything. And it's like, I just hate it when that comes out. And so he's challenging them. He's like, okay, you need to be thinking on that, which is lovely. And he's in a prison cell, hooked up to a soldier, not knowing if he's about to die. And this is the phrase he's wanting them to get. And so I just thought, okay, I got some work to do. This is very convicting. The next word that he gives is admirable or good or a good report. And this is also only used right here, this particular word that he used, only used here in the New Testament. And it falls into the category of that which is acceptable, that which is fair, it's actually the outward expression of what is lovely. And so it's not likely to offend. And so when we're thinking on the lovely, this would be the expression of the act, okay? And so how to go about doing it. And when we do that, we don't offend. And it guards against offense. And so thinking through how to move into that category. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, thinking on it is one thing. Acting is different. So hard. I wrote off of my notes.
Action is so important, and he really gets into that in this chapter about our actions.
Our actions. I wrote, so easy said than done. Yeah. So getting that where it's the admirable is the outflow of the lovely of the inflow, in a way, so to speak. You know, and so allowing it to be moved forward.
I took a precepts with Debbie Blank. And it was on Philippians, and I have the paper in front of me, and there, I don't remember what version she had, but it says good repute.
Mm-hmm. Because repute would represent the reputation.
Right.
And thinking through that, and that makes me think, Greg, I can remember, I was young and dumb and not very spiritually mature when Greg and I met as friends at church, and I can remember sitting in a Bible study one day, and this was so profound to me because I had never heard anything like this. I don't know why, but here I am, a young 20-year-old, and it's the first time I've heard this. And he said, it takes a lifetime to build your reputation. It takes a second to lose it. Yeah. I even remember where we were sitting in the Sunday school class when I heard him say it, you know? This was before I'm like, oh, he's the one, you know, whatever. And just thinking on that and like, oh my goodness, you know, and allowing that to resonate within our heart so that we can guard and allow ourselves to have that which is of good repute.
Mm-hmm.
Again, easier said sometimes than done. Yeah. So the next one he challenges them is virtue or excellence. And this is praise, and it's moral excellence or the Christian virtue. So it's more than just being a person who's good, because a lot of people can be very moral and very good, but it's actually having the Christian virtue is what it's talking about. So I'm going to have us read some verses. If you would look up Colossians, Adriana, 4:5-6, and Sandy, if you would look up Hebrews 11:2, and I'll do the 2 Peter 1:3-4, and we're going to read these and look at how these might be expressed. If you've got it, go ahead.
Okay, Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person.
I love that verse and how it says that we are supposed to make good use of our time. And to walk in such a way that those that are outside, as they're watching, they can't help but notice. I mean, that's a good thing for us to hold on to and be thinking through what will their response be by how I react and what I do. Okay, you do your Hebrews 11:2.
I'm going to start with one.
Okay.
What is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. God gave his approval to people in days of old because of their faith.
And I think I have the NLT.
The NLT. Yeah.
When I was looking this up in the, and I was like giving myself my own little description, I wrote, through faith, people of old earned a good reputation. Mm. That it was actually their walk of faith that built their reputation. And that, if you think about it, how many of the Old Testament people do we know of that were ridiculed?
Basically all of them.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Was Jesus ridiculed?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And yet we're told that their faith is what made them earn their reputation.
Or that their faith was their reputation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, not that their faith was what made them earn their reputation. It was that that was what they were known for. That is what they were recognized for.
Yep.
And in a way, that's even why they were ridiculed.
I know.
Oh, yeah. This is one of my favorite verses. My granddaughter, this is her verse. She's 11. Going to be 12. And she writes it on cards to people, and I just love it.
Aww.
She's got a beautiful heart
for
Jesus.
So how does faith get this verse?
I don't know. I don't know if her and Todd and Kim, you know, sat down and just read the Bible and found it. She's had it for years. So I don't know if they encouraged her. I don't know. I'll have to ask her. That's a good question. But nice, this is the one it's her go-to verse all the time. So.
That's beautiful. I love it. So 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4 says, let's see, his 2 Peter, let me make sure I had the right one, 1, 3 through 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And I actually have a circumstance where I was ministering to somebody and noticing in a pattern over time that whenever I asked questions, the person didn't necessarily bring up spiritual things. But this is a person who is in the spiritual setting, within the church, within the Christian community, doing Christian service. But every time I would bring up something that should require from the heart an automatic overflow, I shouldn't say require, but it would be an automatic overflow of that which would be a spiritual answer, I never heard it. And eventually, I just flat out asked the person, it's like, I see you in the blessings of the community, but I'm not hearing from you the blessings coming out. Can you honestly say that you are a person who bears the fruit of a heart that's been transformed by God? And the person was, no. Okay, now, this is crazy. Okay, the virtue, the Christian virtue, we can be morally good and we can walk among Christian people and we can serve among Christian people and we can talk the knowledge of the Bible. But unless it has done a transforming work and we have believed it to the point where it's changing us, we have not moved to Christian virtue.
Right.
And so I began the journey of helping this person process how, because the fear was, is like, now that you've said it, am I doing it for the wrong reason? Like, you know, like everything then became a question, because the person has done everything you're supposed to do but had no heart owned up in it. And so how do I know, was the question, if I'm doing it for the right reasons? And I don't know that I could answer that. I was like, I'm like, you are going to know that it's God at work in you. And if you can honestly say it's God at work in you. And so then I pulled the question, like, if you were to die today, do you know you would be in heaven? And the response was, I don't know.
A lot of it is, I hope so, or I think so.
I think so. Yeah. And I'm like,
not like, yes, I will.
And it's like, if you truly have believed and you have had Jesus do a transforming work in you, it's not, I don't know, I think so. It is, yes.
I am. Yep.
And you can give a specific way he's worked in your heart. And was just thinking through the Christian virtue and trying to get this person processing. And so I'm still in this journey. And so would covet prayer as I work through this journey of trying to figure out how to help somebody move from being morally good to virtuous. Because it's the receiving of Christ in us for our sins with the forgiveness we receive that then we in turn may give back and bringing that. And it can only happen between that person and God.
Right.
But was hard for me because it was like, by all appearances, everybody was said, of course.
Yeah.
And so making sure that when we're thinking, it's the Christian virtue, not which is morally right.
That's a good point.
Yeah. One that I've been meditating a lot on because of the circumstance. So praiseworthy. The next one he says is worthy of praising God. Anything that is worthy of praising God. So would you look up Romans 13:3?
Mm-hmm.
And let's read that one. And he does a pretty good summary of what is worthy of praising God. So go ahead.
Okay. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for you, your good.
Okay. Do you do it all?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's up to you if you want me to.
Okay, go ahead if you see that you want to do another.
Yeah. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on wrongdoers.
Hmm. So good. So what he's trying to get them to understand, because you think about it, he's about to be killed by mm-hmm. the authorities. So now he's wanting them to take on thinking through what is praiseworthy, how to honor the authorities.
Yeah, I don't know if yours said that or not. It says to dwell on it. That's a big difference than just think about it once in a while. It's like meditate, dwell, keep it in front of you.
Right. And so if we are willing to do that for authorities that are over us that write a ticket, how much more so for God, who can take our soul?
Right.
You know, he's the one that gives us the spirit. And so wanting them to get their praise and of God, not of the things that are going around in man. And so the only cure for anxiety is prayer. And these mm-hmm. are the things that he has given to them as a reminder that this is how God meets us in our prayers. So in Philippians, then, we have the verse where it takes us to the next part where he says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the peace of God will be with you. Mm. And if you remember, he had began when he said at the beginning of Philippians 4, he says, think on these things. He's wanting them to get it down. You need to practice it. So that would be your dwelling. Mm-hmm. But literally, he's saying, it's something you will have to remind yourself to do.
And I love the promise there, and the peace of God will be with you. That's a beautiful promise.
It is. And we'll go into that one more because it's just there's so much there that he gives us with mm-hmm. his peace. We'll start it off next time on looking at the peace. But he is the Prince of Peace. And I remember for myself when it became so real to me, I was stressed and I was anxious. And I was telling, I don't remember who, and they just looked at me and they're like, why are you acting this way? Somebody just like said it as it is. And I'm like, because I'm stressed and I'm anxious. And they're like, you have the Prince of Peace in you. It's your responsibility to appropriate that peace. And it just kind of shut me up mm-hmm. and made me realize that I was not attaining what I had already received. Yeah. It was very convicting.
And we do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. What we need to dwell on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to Cultivating Hearts. Come back and we'll talk a little bit more about peace. God bless.